Well, hi there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I do expect your call today because we're talking about divorce and how it is, oh, so painful. So if you've been through a divorce, if you know someone who went through a divorce, if you're a child of divorce, this is definitely the episode, the show you want to call in and just share the experience. Let's really be real. Let's really be real. There you go. Let's talk about this from all angles, the good, the bad, and the ugly. I don't know what's so good about divorce, I have to tell you. I don't know if I agree with that, even in the most difficult situations where divorce seems necessary for some major reason. It's still a very painful experience. It changes the dynamics of the family. It ruins relationships. It breaks. It hurts people. It really changes who they are. And as you can tell, I'm very emotional about it because there's no accident to me putting this topic on the table and on the calendar for the Take Two family to tackle. And that's because today is 18 years ago. Today is when the gavel hit on my divorce, and it was final 18 years ago today. And I still, every time June 4th rolls around, it's painful. It's extremely painful. I did not want the divorce. I fought to save the marriage with all of my might. It was just brutal, and it was the most difficult thing I had ever gone through. I went through cancer twice, and that wasn't even as difficult as the divorce. So if you have something to say about this, we could really help souls today. We could maybe give them some words of encouragement, maybe also some words of wisdom to hang on to your marriage, to fight for your marriage, to uphold your marriage, to protect your marriage. I'm all about saving the marriage. Sometimes it's out of people's controls. They can't, you know, if you fight really hard for the marriage and somebody chooses out, there's not much you can do. You can't really force them to stay. So it's very, very difficult, very painful, and especially on the children. And adult children of divorce have weighed in over the years and said, you know, nobody seems to check in on us. It's still painful. With all these added people into the family and things like that. And really, it just this sense of, you know, where do we belong? Where do we go for Christmas? Do we visit mom, you know, on this part of town, and dad with his new wife on this part at the other end of town? And so you celebrate things twice, or maybe, just maybe, everybody can get along. That's a unique situation. Doesn't always happen that way. But the topic today is divorce is painful. Divorce is painful. I'm not, there's no judgment. I'm not trying to say, you know, I'm not going to be really heavy about this and say, you know, you shouldn't have gotten a divorce, this and that. I don't know your circumstances and what went on behind closed doors. Only you know that, and your spouse knows that, and God was present as well. But I will tell you that I'm not at all supportive of going the divorce route at all. And I'll tell you, I can tell you why. I'll be completely transparent with the Take Two family. My children changed forever that day. The day that gavel hit and the divorce was final, my kids were different, and they were never, ever the same. Now, they're wonderful. They're wonderful grown adults. They're wonderful husbands and dads, and they really love their children and their families very much. But they changed, and it was all because of the divorce, the breaking of the family unit. So let's talk about how painful it is, but let's also talk about how we can support one another. Did you feel supported by your family, your friends, your neighborhood, or were you pushed away, shunned? Did you feel supported by the church? You know, did you go for an annulment? Let's talk about everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. That's how we roll on Take Two. So here's how it works. You're going to call in. You're going to speak to Rich Jesse. He is so nice. You're going to have a very pleasant experience. You're going to chat with him for a few minutes. He's going to put you on hold. You're going to listen live, and then you're going to slip into the discussion, and you'll weigh in on it. If we have any counselors out there, any clergy that want to weigh in on how divorce has you know, have you have seen divorce or have you observed what happens in a family after a divorce? Weigh in on this, guys. We need to really use this time wisely to help others on the road. If maybe they're contemplating a divorce, thinking about a divorce, maybe divorce is something they always choose to go to, you know, to tell their partner when they're in an argument, hey, I'm going to file for divorce. It's very dangerous and it's destructive. And let me just share this. The demons know they're opportunists. They know how to leverage this in their favor when a divorce starts to happen down that road. So there's so much I can say about it, but I really want to hear about hear what the Take Two family has to say. And you guys are calling in already on about divorce being painful. And we can all talk about all the fighting in court of division of, you know, assets and material goods and the kids, the custody issues and post-divorce fighting. I mean, you name it. It is just a brutal situation to go through. So the number is 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. That's the number to call. Rich is waiting to answer your call. You don't have to be Catholic to call in. If you've been through a divorce and you want to weigh in on this and tell everybody your experience, your story, I will allow you as much time as I possibly can between calls to tell your story. So please, let's use this platform in a way where we can help others, encourage others, really inspire others to hold on to what the beautiful sacrament of matrimony and to tap into the graces that are available to everyone. Here's the number, 833-288-3986. Michael McCall's at the controls. He's our wonderful producer, doing a fine job. And we're going to hit the pause button in just about a minute. We've got Ace McKay on social media. I'm waving to everybody. Put your comments about divorce in the chats there. And Ace will pick them up just as soon as he can and put them on the show document. If you don't have time to wait on hold to get on air with us, you can always text us if you have a comment about divorce being painful. You text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your comment or your quick, very quick story about how divorce is painful. And just know that message and data rates may apply. Okay, the first group of calls is getting screened right now. I'm sure we've got others on deck waiting to speak to Rich. So keep calling and make sure you have your voice heard about this. And if you are a child of divorce, please, we need to hear from you. How did it impact you? How did it change you? Was it for the better? Was it for the worse? We want to know. 833-288-3986. And I'll be right back. Well, you guys are definitely weighing in on this about divorce being painful. So thank you. I appreciate you being very honest, very real, very raw, very from the heart about what this really entails when somebody goes through a divorce. And let's talk about it. How were you treated at the church? That's an important aspect of it, because a lot of people felt very hurt by their church. It doesn't have to be the Catholic Church, any church that they belong to. I hear the stories all the time when in life coaching. They just felt like when they were at their most vulnerable and fragile and they needed the spiritual support, it wasn't there. So if that happened to you, let's talk about it. You don't have to mention names, you know, and if you want to keep your name private and your situation private, then just use your confirmation name. Okay, we're going to get to Kathy first, but Kathy, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Let me give the number, and I have one quick highlight about Mother Angelica Memorial. So the number is 833-288-3986 if you want to talk about how divorce is painful. Visit EWTN's site dedicated to our foundress, Mother Angelica, where you can celebrate her remarkable life. It's filled with photos, milestones, heartfelt stories, and her wit and words that have inspired the hearts of all ages throughout the years. All you have to do is visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica. Okay, to lead the discussion, we've got Kathy. She's on the road in Cheyenne, Wyoming. So I hope you're on a hands-free device, Kathy, listening on Sirius XM 130. Welcome to the program.
Hi. Yeah, I am on hands-free, which is great.
Okay. You go ahead.
Well, I was divorced in 1983, so over 40 years ago. But at that time, you know, before Vatican II was really kind of stabilized a little bit, it was kind of a, you got married with a divorce clause built in and stuff, at least in some people's mind. And I'm not sure for us whether our partnership ever developed and what it was intended to as sacred honor, actually, by God. Anyway, our kids were 6 and 4, and by the time I went to counseling for about 7 of those 9 years alone, because he didn't think it was necessary, and then I became afraid of him and made the decision. But one of the things that we did agree on was that it didn't have anything to do with the kids, and they were not going to become weapons. And so we went to an attorney together, which saved us a lot of money. We split the bills down the middle. And so, you know, we just went in that direction and then focused on my focus. I had physical custody of the kids. We were both active duty military, too, so we went different directions that way. But the kids were with me, and so we just helped them develop the relationship they have now with him mm-hmm. on their own. I don't know what he was doing on his side, but I didn't try and interfere mm-hmm. with the development of their relationship. Mm-hmm. My son has a very strong relationship with him, with both of us, actually. And our daughter was really young, and he grew up on a farm and really didn't know what to do with a little girl at the time. So her relationship with him is totally different. His son, you know, he could shoot his BB gun with and that kind of stuff. And so their relationship is a little more grounded than with her. They're both going on 50 now. But I think the biggest thing for me was that I was not going to, the kids never really knew anything about what pulled us apart. Mm-hmm. But we wanted to make sure they weren't going to be pulled apart, you know, by us not being together. And I think they've done well on their own. My daughter just retired from the military, and she's in med school now. She was a combat medic for 22 years. Mm-hmm. And our son has been a master painter for about 25 years. So they both do well in their own lives, and mm-hmm. they have good lives with both of us separately. So for people that, you know, we're struggling with a lot of pain and suffering that goes with the divorce, it doesn't have to be, there are always going to be battles. If you can keep the anchor and acknowledge your share of the responsibility and why the relationship didn't work, mm-hmm. that will make it much easier for you to help deal with some of the anger and frustration that the kids have with it.
Right.
And I'll let you talk. I'll get off.
No. Kathy, before you go, I just want to say a couple things. You know, you did so many things right with having to go through this experience of divorce. You know, you said you went to counseling. That's very important. You said that, you know, the stable environment for your kids was you, right? Because you had custody of the kids. And you said that you worked hard to, I guess, co-parent, right? And co-parent effectively and well, and to do things in a fair manner, right? So you did so many things right. You're very, very lucky in that area and blessed, because a lot of couples that are divorcing today, it's not that easy. There's so many games being played and quickly dividing up and you know, alienating on the other side of the family and things like that. It's so dangerous. So and it sounds like your kids are thriving and doing well. So, but Kathy, that has a lot to do with you. Can you tell us a little bit about your spiritual life?
Well, you know, actually, that was part of the problem and why we just didn't belong together with it. I focused heavily on trying to bring the kids into a spiritual relationship of their own with God. Mm-hmm. And he just didn't think it was necessary. He certainly didn't think it was important. So I tried to focus on what they needed rather than what I wanted or what he wanted for them. And one thing I know is there are a lot of times when I wanted just to keep him away from them altogether. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't help the kids because he is part of them too. And so you have to sacrifice some of your own desire for them sometimes in order to allow the other non-custodial parent to develop the relationship they have with them. And then the children at some point will decide who makes more sense to me or who gives me what I need in my life to where I want to spend more time with them, whatever.
Well, Kathy, you're spot on. I mean, the fact that going through this, you have to learn certain things. You have to learn to compromise. You have to learn to forgive. You have to learn to really think of the other person and their relationship with the children. And it sounds like, you know, you did all that. And so the result is that, you know, your son, you said your son has a good relationship with his dad. So, you know, you did so many things well, Kathy, and that's a beautiful thing. And I think, you know, if somebody has to go through and they have no other choice, they have to go through a divorce. Well, you really got to work on all these other things that can actually end up being beneficial in the long run, which it seems like it did for your family. Kathy, you are awesome. Thank you for getting us started. We have full phone lines plus. So I'm going to, I hope you continue safe driving, but listening, because Patrick is up next and I want you to hear what he has to say. So Kathy, thank you for weighing in on this topic about divorce being painful. Patrick is up next in Gulfport, Mississippi, and Patrick is listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Patrick. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, Patrick. Thank you so much for asking. You go right ahead.
So my mother, first of all, both sets of my grandparents were divorced. They're all deceased now, so none of them are going to listen to this or hear it. Mm-hmm. But my mother broke down and kind of opened up to me the other day that how she left the Catholic Church as a teenager, why it happened, which is something I'd always wondered about, because I didn't grow up in the Catholic Church, and, you know, at age 21, I joined the church on my own. Mm-hmm. But, you know, beyond that, she told me that, you know, this was just barely in the post-Vatican II realm, so mid-60s, I believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the kind of the Monsignor in charge of the whole scenario, you know, questioned her, and, you know, her question for him was, you know, what does their divorce make me? Because the church didn't recognize divorced people, didn't recognize products of divorced marriages.
Right.
And so she later, you know, in my lifetime, made confession and is in communion with the church again, thankfully. But, you know, it really hurt her. I could tell that she still doesn't have an answer. She just got over it. And mm-hmm. so I'm curious if I can have an answer for her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Patrick, so you said why she left the church, but she's back in the Catholic Church, your mom?
She is, yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I can't exactly speak for the church during the 60s, because I actually was born in the 60s. But I will tell you this just from my study of the Catholic Church and my theology degree. You know, divorce is one of those things. This is just me talking now, Patrick. Divorce is one of those things in the church that is somewhat difficult to talk about for so many reasons. Okay. So many reasons, because the Catholic Church is very clear in the teaching of what the church feels about divorce, remarriage, receiving the sacraments, annulments. I mean, you go with all the elements, and it doesn't quite fit with everybody's situation, right? Because people have different situations. And the catechism talks about, you know, the need, if there's a need for separation or things like that, if there's abuse and things. So they build in certain elements that can cover some of the circumstances. But what I have heard over the years from people in life coaching is that it's hit or miss with who you encounter in the church by way of clergy or lay leaders or religious when you are faced with a divorce situation. Like, I'll give you an example. I'll be fully transparent. In the old days, Patrick, this was only like 20 years ago, if you were in ministry in the church, contemplating divorce, or you went through with a divorce and you were in ministry, you were immediately taken out of ministry. No questions. They don't ask why. It's because you're divorced and now for some reason there's a potential that you're going to maybe date somebody else and not have an annulment and you're going to be not in good standing and so you can't minister. And it was very harsh. It was very abrupt. And then the pendulum, you know, swung a little bit, and then there was this welcoming of people that were divorced, but that wasn't healthy either because it was, you didn't take into consideration all the circumstances. So I can tell you that probably your mom met up with a church leader who happened to be a clergy, who really was being very black and white about it, and really hurt your mom and hurt her deeply. Because the one thing I will say is, unless I never understood divorce, Patrick, never did I understand it. My parents were married until they were, you know, they both passed away. They were married 58 years. We didn't have really any divorce in my family. I had some siblings eventually that got divorced, but I didn't understand divorce. It didn't make sense to me because everybody was a family around me. We had clergy, we had religious in our family. It wasn't until I had a divorce, you know, thrown on me that I had no control, that all of a sudden I understood what it's like to be divorced. And let me tell you, it is painful. And there's a lot of people in the church, outside of the church, leaders of the church that want nothing to do with divorced people because they don't know how to deal with it. They don't know if you're in good standing in the church, not in good standing. What are you going to do? Are you going to get remarried? Are you going to leave the church? It's a mess. I do think solid catechesis on this and being very clear with couples that are preparing for marriage and so they understand everything, eyes wide open, and also a clear teaching from the pulpit when we hear in homilies would allow people to understand where divorced people fit in. So I know that's a long answer to your question, but I'm going to just say this. Please tell your mom, I am very sorry she was treated like that. I am very sorry. That should have never happened. There should have been more understanding and compassion. I'm not saying you agree with any type of sin or condone any sin. Absolutely not. But you can have compassion and walk with people and understand that not every situation is a you know, cookie cutter, you know, boxed situation that fits all. It doesn't happen that way in divorce. I know because I lived it. So I just want to say I'm so sorry, but I will tell you over the years, the church has gotten much better at communicating the teachings of the church in a very compassionate way. So does that help at all?
It does. It does. Yeah. It would seem that, you know, divorce is kind of all around me. Sister-in-law happened to her. Other people happened to them. My father's sisters, you know, were both on multiple marriages.
Mm-hmm.
None of these people were Catholic, coincidentally, so it didn't carry the same gravitas as, you know, what
right.
my mom went through. It just seems to be all around. You know, my wife and I married in the church in 2020, and, you know, we have just made our commitment that there's, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing that we won't go through together.
Right, right. And that's good. Hold on to your marriage and stick with your marriage and keep it strong, Patrick. And it sounds like you're doing just that. So thank you. And thank you for sharing from the heart with your family situation. I appreciate it. You hear that music? We're going to take our next break. When I come back, we'll get to more of your calls. We have full phone lines, but keep calling in. We want to hear from you. We're talking about how divorce is very painful today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and you guys are weighing in droves here. I mean, you're coming in real fast. This is wonderful. Patrick in Gulfport, Mississippi, thank you so much for your call. You really sparked the phones here, and that is wonderful. Everybody's got some different takes on this, and we're going to get to Susan next. Susan, hold on. Don't go anywhere. I'm going to take everybody in the order that they came in. But I want to say a big shout out and congratulations going out to another EWTN radio partner. WJMJ serving Hartford, Connecticut is celebrating 7 years with EWTN. They carry EWTN radio in English and in Spanish on their HD channels. So congratulations to Steve Savino and everyone at WJMJ from your friends here at EWTN. That is so cool. 7 years. I love that. Good biblical number there. Okay, let's go to Susan in Northern Virginia, listening on our friends on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Susan.
Hello.
Hello. You go right ahead.
Okay, yes. Well, I am a child of divorce. Mm-hmm. I'm the oldest of four. And I can tell you, as much as when it happened, I was 12 years old, as much as I understood the necessity at the time, mm-hmm. because there was violence involved, I wouldn't wish having to go through that on anybody. My mom later was able to get an annulment, thank the Lord. And I love both of my parents. They were both good people. They just weren't good together. And I just will say that my own observation is that the younger the sibling, the more they were affected. Mm-hmm. I did happen to be the oldest. One thing that really helped me was as an adult to do a course called Adult Children of Dysfunctional Families. Mm-hmm. And that really helped open my eyes as to how from that experience I had learned not to talk, not to trust, and not to feel. And through that course, I was able to learn some new skills. I was already married at the time. And thanks be to God, and I'm married to a great man. And also, he's willing to do two things. We just celebrated 35 years.
Beautiful. Yes.
So he's willing to apologize. Mm-hmm. And we've also, from time to time, we have worked with counselors. And that's why I say, you know, the grace of God and counseling. You have to be honest. You can't do this on your own today. You just can't.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
Yeah, Susan,
so
you are.
Thank you for an opportunity to weigh in.
Absolutely. But Susan, a couple things. You are spot on. The older that the children are, they're able to grasp a little more. And the younger ones, they're lost. And oftentimes they feel they were the cause of the divorce. They don't understand. It doesn't feel right. And it's really painful and they carry that. But again, here we have Susan. I did the same thing with counseling. Our previous callers are weighing in saying counseling for sure. Absolutely. We need that kind of support when you're going through something like this to whether you're the child of a divorce or you're going through the divorce as a spouse. It's important to get the counseling to understand your own what's going on inside of you, to understand how to relate to other people, to build that trust again, because there's so much of the trust factor that's broken. And then all these fears come in. When trust is broken, fear starts setting in. And it's just such a combination that causes the person to really struggle in their life. And if they don't get that kind of direction or counseling, it's very unfortunate. So I totally agree with you, Susan. And I thank you so much. And I'm so happy for you and your husband. It sounds like you've really worked hard at your beautiful, long relationship. And that is wonderful, Susan. So God bless you. And thank you for weighing in on this. Okay, I'm going to get to Carl in Edgerton, Minnesota. And Carl is on our friends at Real Presence Radio. Hi, Carl. Welcome. Hello, Carl, are you with us? Carl, are you there? Okay. We're going to ask Rich to pick up the phone because I don't want to lose Carl. Maybe we'll get Carl back because you've been waiting a long time to get on air with us. Let's go to John in Fort Worth, Texas on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, John.
Hello.
Hello. You go right ahead.
Okay. Just a second. When you introduced the topic, you talked about people that had been through a divorce. I'm actually in the middle of my divorce, and it's been going on for about a year and a half. And my issue, I wasn't the party that started this, but I initiated the divorce because my wife had another person, and and she wasn't willing to get him out of our lives. So anyway, but I've been alone for over a year, and I initially I've been through I am in counseling and stuff, but the church really frowns on having a relationship, not even a sexual relationship, just a relationship with another woman. You know, I mean, what priests have told me in confession is, you're married, if it would be inappropriate for you to go out to dinner with another woman. And and that's, you know, in a, as a friend. So I guess I'm seeking that completeness, and I'm just frustrated, and
Right. But don't be frustrated. Let me introduce something, a different way of looking at this, John, and just, you got to hear me out, and you don't even have to give me an answer. You just think about it and pray about it. Okay. Would you do that for me? Okay.
Sure.
First, I want to say, is there any chance for reconciliation? Is there any chance for any type of intense counseling to get her to leave this other person and come back to her marriage? And do you have children together, John?
We have two daughters that are 46 and 47.
So. Okay. Okay. Is there any chance to get her to wake up and realize, are you guys Catholic?
I am. She's not.
She's not. Okay. Is she like a non-denominational Christian or?
She's Presbyterian, but non-practicing.
Okay. Got you. Okay. So is there any chance of any type of reconciliation with intense counseling or some kind of major retreat or something of that nature to have her revisit this before you go through with the divorce, or is it completely done on her part?
Well, I think 25 years ago, we went through a retrovi and got through kind of a rough patch. It wasn't anything like this. But when this happened, or when I discovered it, I gave her three conditions, and but one of those was getting this guy out of our lives.
And, well, yeah, she said no.
He served some other function, but I mean, she was unwilling to get rid of him. So and she still, you know, interacting with him. I don't know what. At what level? I don't ask her.
Well, John. Okay, so John, let me couple things I just want to just toss out on the table. First of all, there are many programs. The Alexander House, you went to Retrovi, Catholic Counselors, you can reach them at catholiccounselors.com, the Pop Checks. There are many folks out there doing kind of crisis counseling, coaching for marriages that are in trouble, okay? And so that's the first thing. If there is a chance to hang on to your marriage, I would fight for it. If there isn't any, you know, severe abuse or anything of that nature, okay. But if it's definitely a done deal and you can't force her to continue being married and all that, John, this is an opportunity for you to go deep with the Lord. I'm going to give you the same suggestion and advice that I was given by my pastor, and it was the best advice ever. He said to me, Debbie, there's two ways you're going to go. You're either going to get closer to God through this divorce, or you're going to drift away. and I had lost everything, and there was no way I was going to drift away from God. So I went into the deep end of the pool. I just did everything I could do to get close to God. And John, that's why I'm sitting here today. And I'm telling you this from the bottom of my heart. If you take this time during this most difficult, painful time and get close to the Lord and be the absolute best Catholic you can be without pursuing another relationship or going into that area. And then if you pray about it with your pastor, and then you decide to go through the annulment process, you know, if indeed the annulment is granted, then at that point you can move on to another relationship and know that you're doing right by God. John, I can't stress it enough. If you do it God's way, you will be blessed abundantly now and on, and for all of eternity. If you go with what you need, you think you need now, or what maybe emotionally may fulfill you, I can tell you it's going to create a lot of problems. And I've seen it so many times with people that rush into another relationship because they want to feel that love again. So I you don't even have to answer me. I just would love for you to take that to prayer. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, but if you need anything, we also do the coaching too at Stand Tall. So if you need anything, you call us. We're at standtalltoday.com. But I put you in the prayer book, your whole family, John, to give you strength and to give you clarity to get through this. So just know we've got you covered in prayer, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing today. We're going to go back to Carl. We got Carl back from Edgerton, Minnesota on Real Presence Radio. Hi, Carl. Thanks for sticking with us. Welcome back.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing well, Carl. This is a tough subject, but I'm hanging in there. You go right ahead.
So I was first divorced 13 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that always stuck with me is that I was told that the sins of my spouse were forgiven, but my sins weren't forgivable. And I was made to confess my sins on my knees with our pastor at the time and my wife, and confess the sins that I had did. Like, it was all my fault.
And this was a Catholic priest that had you do this?
No, this was a Baptist priest.
That's okay. That's what I thought, because you're not going to find that in a Catholic church. Okay, but are you Catholic, Carl?
No, I'm not. No.
Okay, so you initiated the divorce, and then you were meant to repent in front of.
No, I did not initiate. I did not initiate divorce. The divorce my ex did.
Your ex initiated the divorce, but you were meant to repent to the whole family and to ask for forgiveness, and they didn't forgive you?
Yeah, they basically said my sins were forgivable.
Well, did the minister take into account that your wife was the one that wanted the divorce?
Yeah, he did. My ex turned the whole church against me, and I was basically asked to leave.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But I have to tell you something, Carl. You're listening to Catholic radio. Have you ever thought about coming into the Catholic Church?
No, not really.
It's really quite beautiful, I have to tell you. I love the sacraments. Absolutely love the Eucharist. But you're listening to Catholic radio, so that's a really wonderful thing. But Carl, I'm sorry you went through that. So where are you today with all of this? Do you have children with this ex-spouse?
Yeah, I see them like twice a month.
Mm.
I don't see her very much.
And how is she doing, your former wife?
She's doing great.
She is. Okay. Okay. Well, that's... So have you forgiven them, Carl?
I've tried, but it's really hard.
Okay. So you believe in Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I want you to do, if you can. Do your very best to forgive, and then ask Jesus to come in and do the heavy lifting and take care of it for you. Will you do that? Ask Jesus.
Yeah.
You give a little and let Jesus give 99%. And watch how your heart starts to open again, how you start to heal, and how you start to get closer to Jesus through this. Because the one, I mean, you're not a Catholic, Carl, but I will tell you that we as Catholics are very strong on the afterlife, right? And so we very much teach that you can't take unforgiveness into eternity, because you have to get rid of all of that. You can't be in the beatific vision with any stain on your soul. So I really would want that for you, to make sure you have no unforgiveness and practice that, because that will open your heart again to receive the love of God and also to heal. And that's what I'm going to pray for, Carl. I'm going to pray for that for you. I have a good feeling about this, because you're listening. There's no accident. The Holy Spirit's moving, Carl.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, it's just really, really hard. Like, yeah. Feels like I'm just stuck.
Well, You may feel like you're stuck, but remember, your guardian angel is beside you. Psalm 91, God's protection, right? Psalm 91, your guardian angel's beside you. Acknowledge that you have your guardian angel. Ask your guardian angel to help you get unstuck, okay? Because your guardian angel is ready, willing, and able to help you, Carl. And then you should never feel that stuck feeling or feel alone or anything like that, because God wants the best for you. We know that. You probably know scripture very well, okay? And God wants the best for you. He knows every hair on your head. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to have peace. So your guardian angel can help you with that on the day-to-day journey. What do you say? Can I pray for that as well?
Yeah. Please.
Okay. Will you keep in touch with us? If you need to email, just email take2@ewtn.com. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Carl. Thank you so much for staying with us today. I got to move to Renee in Charlotte, North Carolina on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Renee. Welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. It's a tough subject, but I'm doing well. Thank you so much for asking. You go right ahead.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to share, it's kind of similar to one of your last callers about being the child of divorce. And I was about the same age that your other caller was. I was 11, and there were four children in the family. I was the youngest. And there's a 10-year gap between the oldest and the youngest. So mm-hmm. My older siblings were heading off to college when my parents divorced. My dad is the one that left my mom. Mm-hmm. And I know they went through counseling before he left, but he still left anyway and left his family, his children. But my mom carried a lot of anger.
Mm.
And didn't know how to handle that. We did not go to counseling as a family afterwards.
Oh.
And what happened in our situation is that I was viewed as the one that was most like my dad.
Oh, yeah.
In personality, mm-hmm. temperament. And so I think what she did was displaced a lot of her anger towards me. But I guess the reason why I called is because I don't know if parents, you know, that do go through divorce realize that maybe they're doing that, taking out on maybe one of the children, that the other children are watching,
mm-hmm.
and they see this, and then they start to mimic some of these behaviors. And mm-hmm. so just in my situation, it's carried on. I mean, I've been married now 40 years. All of us in my family, all the siblings have stayed married. I know there was a fear of getting married and that maybe getting a divorce. I know that, but we've all successfully been married. But this carrying the stigma that you're the problem child, or every time there's something wrong that goes in the family, it's your fault. You were the most like your dad. You know, you were favored by him,
mm-hmm.
but none of us like dad. And you were different. You know, my mom would tell me that you're different than the other kids, my other mm-hmm. kids. You're the most like your dad. But then there was always this stigma that nobody liked dad because he was the one that left.
Right.
So you know, the counseling that I've gone through counseling myself, but never as a whole family. And I guess that's something, I don't know how often that might happen, but my situation, I was the youngest, but mm-hmm. maybe there's another child in the family that the anger might be targeted towards.
Right. Okay. So I just wanted to let you know, because I work with a lot of divorced couples and the families that have broken up because of divorce. It actually happens quite frequently, believe it or not, especially if the spouse is unable to deal with the divorce and hasn't gone through counseling, they will project to maybe some of the children, all of the children, a particular child, signal out a certain child and make them the target of their frustration and anger that they're unable to resolve inside of them. And this is why people should not, if you're going to go through divorce, people really do need healing and counseling afterwards. They just do. There's too many feelings, and you can't dump on strangers and neighbors and friends and coworkers and family members, because it just becomes overwhelming to them. They just don't want to hear it after a while. And because so counseling, coaching, it works. It really helps people. And you're, unfortunately, your mom didn't take advantage of that or didn't want to go through that. And so you were the brunt of that. And I am so sorry you went through it. But I can tell you this, typically it makes those children that it happens to, it makes them very strong. I'm guessing you're mm-hmm. a very strong individual. Am I right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. And I do forgive them. I totally understand what situation they were in at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a long time to figure out what was going on with my siblings, though.
Mm, right.
Where their feelings of, and they still to this day, it's usually, oh, yeah, she's the one that's always causing, she's the one that's doing this,
yeah.
she's speaking up, or she, you know. So that, you know, can carry a lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
Of unresolved.
Yeah. And it's painful. But one thing, and I'm sure you know this, Renee, one thing you have to remember, just because you're like your dad or you're like your mom, that you have to look at what the person is doing that is having you stand for them. So your siblings or your mom or anyone else, if they say, oh, you're just like your dad. Well, yeah. Okay. That's how it all works. You know, you came from your mom and dad. You're going to be like, you're going to have traits of your mom. You're going to have traits of your dad. You may look like your dad. You may look like your mom. Okay. That's just the way it is. But the real issue is to point back and to say to them, okay, your real problem is with dad himself. Your real problem mm-hmm. is with mom. It's not with me. You know, don't blame me because I happen to resemble or act like my dad. It has nothing to do with it. And people need to realize that. And people need to realize what they're doing to other people as a result of when divorce happens. Because I think a lot of times siblings and also parents that have been hurt, they can hit below the belt in many ways because they don't know how to deal with the emotion of the breakup. And so it's just a painful situation. But Renee, you shared, you've gone on, you're thriving. You have a long relationship with your husband. You're doing great. You're strong. Renee, you're awesome. I'm sorry it happened to you. I pray that your mother, you know, I don't know if she's still with us, Renee.
No, she passed away a year ago.
Okay. Did she ever forgive him? Did she ever forgive your dad?
Yes, she did. That was the thing, is that they always remained very amicable. And in fact, in later life, they traveled together. They went on trips together. They never fought. They mm-hmm. were not the type that ever fought in front of anyone. And they stayed amicable. But yet she just never could address her anger in a helpful way or a healthy way.
Right. Right.
And it just spilled over.
Right. But remember.
And I did.
Right. Renee, real quickly. Her anger most likely was because she actually still had very strong feelings for him. Okay. And she there was a fear inside of her, probably fear of being rejected or fear of, you know, being hurt or whatever. And so when somebody has strong anger after a divorce, they're not ready to get a divorce, believe it or not. They're not ready because the feelings are still there. That's why anger rises up. So I hope she made peace with you, and I hope she said she was sorry to you, because that's unfortunate that you had to go through your adult life feeling that way.
Yeah, we came to terms. I loved my mom. I really loved Good. My mom. And in Good. Fact, so one of the last things she talked about before, as she was passing away, she was talking about my dad.
Oh, wow.
And the things
See?
That he did for her, he mm-hmm. took, you know, things that he fixed for her around the house.
Yeah.
And yeah. I mean, as long ago as that their divorce was, she was thinking yeah. about him. As
wow.
he was passing away.
See, the,
there was
the,
a deep love that she had for him.
Right. Right. There you go. Right there. Thank you, Renee. I'm sorry, Paul, in Ohio. You're talking about how people give up too easy in marriage. I so agree. Angel calling in about how your kids suffered through the divorce. Yes, there's so much more we can talk about this. I'll revisit this topic again. Don't forget to catch Open Line Thursday with Father Gerald Murray tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks to the show team, Michael, Rich, and Ace. You did a fine job. Thanks to everybody weighing in on this very difficult topic today. Thank you to the affiliates for carrying the show. Until tomorrow, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.